The disappearance of Maura Murray, New Hampshire's enduring mystery, Whispers from the Dark. Welcome, dear listeners, to Whispers from the Dark. Tonight, I invite you to step with me into the chilling embrace of the White Mountains, to a desolate stretch of road on a cold winter's night in New Hampshire. It's a place where a young woman, seemingly full of life, vanished without a trace, leaving behind a wrecked car, a handful of cryptic clues, and a two-decade-long unsolved mystery that continues to haunt the imagination and defy explanation. This is the haunting story of Maura Murray and her baffling disappearance in February of 2004. Her case is not merely a police file. It's a gaping wound in the fabric of reality for those who loved her. An enduring enigma that whispers through the pines of the Northeast, captivating and frustrating a global community of amateur sleuths. Maura Murray was, by all accounts, a bright and promising young woman. A nursing student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, a formidable athlete on the track team, fiercely independent and brimming with potential. She was just 21 years old in 2004, vibrant and intelligent. Yet, beneath that veneer of capability, she was burdened by recent personal events that, in retrospect, cast a long, unsettling shadow over her final known days. A recent car accident in her father's vehicle, a minor incident of credit card fraud, and a deeply unsettling, tearful phone call with her sister, Kathleen. The night before her disappearance, these were all fragments of a life that seemed to be fraying at the edges, a tapestry of personal struggles silently unfolding beneath the surface of her outwardly successful life. The days leading up to February 9th, 2004, paint a truly perplexing picture of a mind in turmoil or a life at a crossroads. On Thursday, February 5th, Maura had driven her father's new Toyota Corolla and, in a momentary lapse, crashed it into a guardrail near UMass. The damage was significant, nearly totaling the vehicle, but remarkably, she was uninjured. This seemingly minor event, compounded by the previous credit card issue, added a layer of stress that her father, Fred Murray, noted. Just two nights later, on Saturday, February 7th, Maura attended a party on campus, her behavior seemingly normal. But the true deviation from her routine, the events that would forever baffle investigators and armchair detectives alike, began on Sunday, February 8th. That morning, Maura sent a peculiar email to her professors and work supervisor. In it, she claimed she would be away for a week due to a death in the family, a claim her family later vehemently stated was untrue. This fabricated tragedy, this intentional deception, immediately signals a premeditated decision, but for what purpose? She withdrew $280 from an ATM, a substantial amount for a college student, and purchased a significant quantity of liquor, Kahlua, Bailey's Irish Cream, vodka, and wine. Then, with an almost chilling deliberation, she packed a bag. But to where? No one knew where she was going. Her destination remained a guarded secret, one she took with her into the cold embrace of the New Hampshire wilderness. Was this a spontaneous escape from mounting pressure? A planned getaway to clear her head? Or a desperate, ill-conceived attempt to outrun something unseen, some internal or external shadow that loomed over her? The questions began that day, and they would echo for two decades, their answers perpetually out of reach. Then came Monday, February 9th. The air was crisp, the ground still dusted with recent snow, and dusk was settling early over the rugged landscape. At approximately 7:27 p.m., on a desolate stretch of Route 112 in Woodsville, New Hampshire, a remote, winding road known locally for its hazardous turns and lack of visibility, a witness reported seeing a black Saturn sedan, Mora's car, swerve violently, seemingly lose control, and then crash into a snowbank and a tree. This infamous location, a sharp, almost fatal turn, often shrouded in shadows and slick with ice, was fittingly known as the Fatal Turn. The witness, a school bus driver named Butch Atwood, was just pulling out of his driveway when he saw the accident. He observed Mora standing outside the wrecked car, seemingly uninjured, but visibly shaken. He offered assistance, a simple act of human kindness, on a lonely road. She refused, insisting she had already called AAA. But in this remote corner of New Hampshire, there was no cell phone service. She simply couldn't have made such a call. The bus driver, in his good intentions, continued on his short route home, then called 911 from his residence nearby, reporting the accident and the young woman who refused help. Within minutes, another passing motorist, an unnamed resident, also stopped, seeing Mora, again seemingly alone, by her damaged car. This witness, too, offered help, but Mora again declined, repeating that she had already called 8H8A. The motorist, sensing no immediate emergency, but wanting to ensure assistance was on its way, left to make a separate call for help, returning to the scene about 10 minutes later. But when police arrived at approximately 7:46 p.m., just 19 minutes after Butch Atwood's initial crash report, the scene was eerily silent. Mora Murray was gone, vanished into the frigid night. The car was locked, a chilling testament to her seemingly deliberate departure. The airbags had deployed, indicating a significant impact. Inside, investigators found her textbooks, toiletries, a partially consumed box of wine, and a beloved stuffed monkey. Everyday items that seemed to anchor her to a life she had just left behind. But crucially, her cell phone was missing, as were some of her most personal belongings, like her debit card, and an unknown amount of cash. The absence of these vital items, combined with the presence of others, only deepened the confusion. There were no discernible footprints in the fresh snow, leading away from the car, only tire tracks. The police initially treated it as a simple hit and run, assuming Mora had been picked up by someone. But as hours turned into days, and days into weeks, the grim realization set in. Mora Murray had disappeared into the night, into the vast, unforgiving New Hampshire wilderness, as if swallowed whole by the shadows. The immediate search efforts were extensive, yet yielded nothing. Specially trained search dogs tracked a scent for about 100 yards from the car, then abruptly lost it, as if she had simply ceased to exist at that point. Helicopters scanned the desolate landscape from above, ground teams and local volunteers tirelessly scoured the dense woods, the frozen rivers, and the desolate roads of the area. No sign, not a boot print, a scarf, a discarded piece of clothing, or any other trace of her. It was as if she had simply evaporated into the thin, cold air. Over the years, theories have multiplied, each more unsettling than the last, fueled by tantalizing clues and agonizing silences. Was it a voluntary disappearance? Perhaps she was overwhelmed by her personal struggles, by the pressure of her life, seeking a desperate, fresh start, a complete break from everything she knew. The unusual actions leading up to the crash, the false email, the substantial cash withdrawal, the ambiguous packing, certainly suggest a deliberate intention to leave. But if so, why disappear into the freezing New Hampshire night, seemingly without a plan for survival? Why leave behind so many personal effects in the car? Then there's the terrifying prospect of foul play. Did she accept a ride from someone malevolent after refusing help from good Samaritans? The remote location, the approaching darkness, the vulnerability of a young woman alone on the side of the road. It's a chilling scenario that plays out in countless nightmares. there have been alleged sightings, shadowy figures reported by some, and fleeting glimpses of a mysterious red truck, adding layers of unverified speculation to the already complex narrative. Was she abducted by a passing stranger? Did something horrific happen to her in those dark woods? Perhaps a fatal encounter with someone she trusted, or someone she mistakenly trusted? And of course, the brutal reality of the wilderness. Could she have succumbed to accidental exposure or death? Hypothermia can set in quickly in sub-zero temperatures, especially if one is disoriented or injured. Perhaps in a panic, she wandered into the unforgiving forest, seeking shelter or trying to escape, and was simply overcome by the elements. But if she did, where is her body? Despite extensive searches, meticulously conducted by experts and volunteers, no remains have ever been found. The lack of tracks or any sign of a struggle further frustrates this theory, leaving a void where answers should be. The case of Maura Murray remains one of the most frustrating and compelling unsolved mysteries of our time. Why did she crash? Where was she truly going, if anywhere specific? Why did she refuse help from the very people who might have saved her? The answers remain agonizingly elusive, whispered only by the silent pines and the unforgiving New Hampshire wind. Her family, particularly her devoted father, Fred, continues their relentless, heartbreaking search for answers, their lives forever defined by the void her disappearance created. The story of Maura Murray is a stark reminder that sometimes the darkness truly swallows all light, leaving behind only questions, speculation, and the enduring whisper of a cold case that refuses to be forgotten. It's a testament to the chilling power of the unknown, an open wound in the annals of missing persons cases that continues to draw us in, hoping, always hoping, for a resolution that may never come. Thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. Until next time, remember, some stories are best left uninvestigated, or perhaps they're the very ones that demand our attention the most. Good night, and sleep tight, if you can.